Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. Last week, I was listening to Christmas music, and I also heard a song that goes way back for me. It's called Unchained Melody. I don't know whether any of you know it or remember it, but I'm going to, for those that don't know the name but maybe know the tune, I'm going to play a couple bars on the harmonica to remind you. Now, this song has an interesting history. In 1936, songwriter Alex North approached Bing Crosby with a still-untitled song. And Crosby turned the song down, and it remained unrecorded for almost 20 years. In 1955, Alex North and lyricist Hy Zarrett were contracted to write a song as a theme for the prison's film Unchained. Their song eventually became known as the Unchained Melody that many years later. And the apparently soon forgotten film centers around a man who contemplates either escaping from prison to live life on the run or completing a sentence and returning to his wife and family. He is stopped from escaping by a trusted inmate who basically beats him up and drags him back to his cell to save him from himself. In 1965, the Righteous Brothers recorded the song in the film, and the rest is history. They sing a truly haunting melody that is not easily forgotten. The song's lyrics reflect a man crying for a love who he has not seen for a long, lonely time, and because time goes by so slowly, wondering if she is still there for him. Knowing the film's story that surrounds the song, perhaps there is another deeper meaning. A man who is torn between facing the truth of his actions or trying to escape them. A man who decides to take the easy way out, but who ultimately fails. Facing up to the truth is sometimes a very unpleasant task for us. It can reveal details we would not wish others to know or do not want to confront. We can run or hide from the truth, but one day we will all have to face it. The fact is that truth originates in the very nature and character of God, and we will be confronted with it whether we like it or not. And thankfully for us, forgiveness is also part of the nature and character of God, supremely shown in the death of Jesus Christ, the means by which we can be forgiven. As the Bible puts it, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Happy New Year. I'm so glad that God has brought all of you to be with us this morning, and welcome to our worship today. This is a unique Sunday as we will be celebrating Epiphany and the gift and the return of the gift of the Magi coming to the Christ child. And we will be celebrating that today as we think through what that means for our life today and in the future. So I'm glad that you're all here, that you were able to make worship with us this morning. We have our cross up today, and that is left over from yesterday's worship service for Jesse Riggleman. Jesse made that cross, and so today is about light. It's about the light coming in the darkness. So as much light as we can get up here, we thought it'd be appropriate to leave that up for one more Sunday at least. And so we're glad that we could gather together in worship for that. So I would like to invite Judy forward. Judy has an announcement along with Miss Hannah. Up here sharing because our dear Marion had surgery yesterday and had a great for surgery. It went really, really well, and she's doing well. So we're delighted in the wonderful leadership y'all give, as always. I know our youth have an announcement, so here we go.
What is going on? I think we're having a Super Bowl soup sale. I see a lot of handles and ladles. Yeah, that's what it is. So we have some soup we're making this year, but how many types of soup do we have?
Not two, I'm three, but four soups.
Four soups, wow. So here's the deal. Starting next Sunday, you get a chance to sample the soups, every single one. Now, no dipping your fingers in the soup. Anything like that, you just sample it for the whole influenza flu thing. We'll have four soups out there. Sorry, next Sunday, the 11th. And then again on the 25th, chance to sample soups. And you can also pre-order them. Because every little bit of the fundraising money goes towards our journey towards Detroit, which we've made a good chunk of fundraising effort for already. But we're thankful for your help and for more as we move on. So again, after worship, next Sunday or Sunday the 25th. One more thing. For every family of Rise Up youth or adults, Daniel Milam has a little clipboard over here, and it's got a big list of all the little needs we have to make the soup, to pass it out, and everything. We're going to be talking about that at Sunday school today, just after this. But if you see him, like right after worship, and say, oh, I can help with this, this, or this, because we have four soup teams, because we have four soups. Thank you, Chris. So anyway, thank you for helping out with our youth gathering at Rise Up team and with our fabulous Super Bowl Soup Sunday, because it happens on February 1st, which is Super Bowl Day. We will hand out the soup. Super Bowl Day. With soup. Yeah, that's it. Got it. Good. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Nice job. Good job, Daniel. Good.
All right. Well, with John's harmonica and the youth playing on the pans, I think we can start a new alternative worship service. I think it would be kind of hip, actually. So, great to have everybody here. I invite us now to stand as we prepare to confess our sin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the maker of heaven and earth, the Word made flesh, the Lord and the giver of life. Amen. Let us come into the light of Christ, confessing our need for God's mercy. Those who are able are invited to kneel. God of peace, we confess that we are not at peace with others or with ourselves. We bring to you all that tears us apart, discord in our families, violence in our world, our own conflicted hearts. In your mercy, mend us, reconnect us to one another and to you. Let peace reign over all the earth through the Prince of Peace, our Savior Jesus Christ. In the Word who has come to dwell with us, God has given us grace upon grace, forgiveness that is stronger than our sin, love that can heal every broken heart. hear this word of God's pardon and peace. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, you are free from all of your sin. Rise, shine, for your light has come. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with the light of your incarnate word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your light in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. And I know we have our children's sermon with Miss Donna.
Would somebody please come down with me? Thanks, Wes. Good morning. So who has cleaned up their Christmas decorations, put the tree away? You have? Yeah. You know, I love decorating and the change in the house and how beautiful it is, but when it's all put away and cleaned, it's kind of a good feeling too, isn't it, for me? I don't know about you guys. But there's one decoration that we really could keep out, and I brought part of mine for you to see. And as soon as I pull out one piece, you're going to know what it is. What do you think this one decoration is that we can keep out? What do you think? Shout it out. The nativity set, the manger scene, that's right. And the reason we could leave that out is because there are three important figures that's a part of that, along with our main guy, baby Jesus. Who are these three guys? The wise men, that's right, the magi. Yeah. Yeah, what did they bring to Jesus? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that's right. And the reason that the wise men and the magi are important right now is because this is our season of Epiphany. And what Epiphany means is to be, to reveal. Or to shine upon. And so it's a time that God revealed to the world that Jesus was the King of Kings, that Jesus was our Lord and Savior. And so I think we can all pull out our nativity scene again so that we can remember that through the wise men coming to visit Jesus, that God has revealed Jesus to us as our Savior. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful Christmas season that we had and for giving us Jesus. We pray that even though we don't have wise men in our day today to come and to reveal Jesus to us, that we have him. We know him in our hearts through our faith. In your name, amen.
I'm hoping for an epiphany because I started wearing glasses about 4 months ago, and you notice what's not on my face right now? So I'm hoping the word will be revealed. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, almighty and everlasting Father, you have brought us safely to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power and enlighten us with your holy word, so that we might be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first reading comes from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight he has made us known to the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were first set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward the redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Gospel this morning is actually going to be from the second chapter of Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, our lesson that is printed in your bulletin is from John 1, and it's about the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and it talks about the wonderful gift of God's light coming into the world. And so, as that is a wonderful scripture for this day, as we also come together to think about the Epiphany, I believe it's important that we hear these words from Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star in its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is prepared to be the shepherd and shepherd my people Israel. When Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared, then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring word so that I may go also and pay homage. When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Seated. Grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Thank you, Donna. Where's Donna? Awesome. Great children's sermon. You could not have set me up better. Well done. Because fist pump. That's right. Fist pound. Well done. Excellent. Indeed, this is the season of Epiphany in the season of Revelation and shining upon. And it makes sense that it kind of follows Christmas. Because what is one of the most wonderful parts of Christmas, at least I know for me, is the revealing that happens around the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. Who likes that besides me? Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to kind of open those gifts, not to know exactly what happened. Although you sometimes have a little bit of a suspicion. But it's awesome to be open and to have those gifts revealed in your midst. Even though they're there, you know it's coming, that kind of sense of revealing is such a really neat experience that we don't always get in our lives. However, it does happen a lot, you know, in different ways. If those of you that enjoy sports, we just had something happen in college football this year. It was the first time we've ever had a college football what? Playoff, right? And what happened? Remember, they had a big meeting so that they could reveal who the top four teams would be, right? Yeah, they do that every year in college basketball. They have the revealing of all the teams that are going to be there. Because that sense of revealing, you know, something that you're not expecting or somewhat of a mystery becoming made known is something that still to this day is really cool. Who likes to watch TV? Only that many of you. Interesting. Who likes those shows that it's kind of like a mystery, but by the end they reveal who did it? Right? What happens if they don't reveal who did it and they make you wait a week? Do you get annoyed? Yeah, of course we do, right? We like to have that revealed. Well, that whole sense of revelation, I think is maybe in born into us, and it's a part of who we are. And that means that as we live our lives of faith, it makes sense that we are a part of a faith journey that is all about revelation. You know, God, ours is a religion of revelation. It is a religion of God revealing to us God's will, God's purpose, God's desires. Our religion is steeped in mystery. Sometimes we are uncertain of what God's will and purpose is. But our Holy Scriptures teach us that God uses dreams and prophets and faithful reflection to help us make sense of our lives and our experiences. You see, God is revealed to all manner of characters throughout the Bible, to Abraham and to Moses, to Samuel, to Micah, to David, to Isaiah, to the Magi today. And through all of these revelations, these people, they come to understand God's will and purpose for them. Through their founding, through the Exodus, through their wandering, through their entering and attaining the promised land, amidst their turmoil of becoming conquered people, through their humiliating exile, and ultimately through their return from exile, each of these experiences were sustained by consistent revelation and subsequent communal reflection as the people of God. Going, where is God in the midst of this? What is God doing and how is God shaping us anew? And throughout it all, they waited for the ultimate revelation, that of the Messiah. And so that is the backdrop for what is revealed today. The arrival of these foreigners who are bringing weird gifts. One time I heard a comedian by the name of George Carlin talk about these three things. I'm not going to tell you everything George Carlin said. But what I will tell you is Jesus was receiving these gifts. And do you know what myrrh is? Myrrh is a bitter gum resin. Right? Bitter gum resin. Did you know that? I didn't know that until George Carlin told me that. And the joke was like, you know, I could have used a bicycle because I traveled a lot and instead of the bitter gum resin. But regardless, the idea that these guys show up, these strangers, these foreigners arrive bearing gifts, who had followed this star, that this is what our Christian tradition holds as three kings from the Orient. We sing that song, We Three Kings. And if so, if they are kings, then they portray an interesting contrast, do they not, to King Herod? Now think about it. When King Herod responded to the birth of Jesus with fear, these three kings responded with faith. Faith that led them on quite a journey that was not without its own fear-inducing elements, to be sure. But I remember talking to one of my professors who talked more precisely about trying to understand who these magi were. And he said that they were most likely a priestly caste from the religion of Zoroastrianism. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But it's a religion that paid particular attention. It was from Iran, actually, Zoroastrianism. And it paid particular attention to the stars. So that would not only make them foreigners, but also of a foreign religion. And they had attained a kind of an international reputation for astrology, which at the time, was a highly regarded science. All right, so this meant that they most likely were probably scientists. So think about this for a second. The wise ones from the East were scientists who practiced another religion. And God used them and their faith and knowledge to bring them to Christ. More ironic, God used the scientists who practiced other religions to let King Herod and the chief priests and the scribes of the people in on the news that the Messiah had been born. Now, as we think about what epiphany can mean and the revelation of God in our lives, think about what this means. That if God is going to reveal God's self to the world, and we take our scriptures at their face value, then what we come to find out is that God has chosen to be revealed to the rest of the world. Now, I'm not counting that God sent angels to shepherds who were in the backwater part of the society. They were on the margins. They weren't the real special people. That he was born in this small little town in very meager means. Not only that, but God then goes and chooses these guys from another religion in a foreign land who were scientists even and brought them to the Christ child to be the one who would reveal that this Messiah was for the whole world. I mean, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? We talk about getting a Christmas surprise. You know? And what might this say about God? And what might it say about how God can reach out to you? See, if God chooses to be revealed in this way by these people, when God is making His most important revelation ever, what could God be doing in your world, in our community, in our church, in your life? Who could God be using to reach out to you, to connect you to Christ more fully? Could it be that it is someone or some situation that you would consider atypical? Or, well, how could that happen? In all of the conversation about science and religion, I think this story is one that we should use to help us have conversations about how science indeed can lead us to the wonderful gift of God. That they are not on opposite sides at all. You see, the message for this Epiphany Day is that our God's revelation is greater than we can ever imagine. If the Magi, whether they were Oriental kings or Zoroastrian scientists, were the chosen revealers of Christ to the world, then what can't God do? Who can't God use to bring the message of Christ into our world, indeed into our lives? The reality of this is that it reinforces something that God seems to want to reveal over and over again. That God's massive inreach towards us has greater breadth than we can ever imagine. My professor in seminary, Dr. Satterley, once wrote this: God seems to do whatever it takes to reach out and to embrace all people. God announces the birth of the Messiah to the shepherds through angels on Christmas, to Magi via a star on Epiphany, and to the political and religious authorities of God's own people through visitors from a foreign country. From a manger, where a child lies wrapped in bands of cloth, God's reach, God's embrace in Christ Jesus gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Jesus eats with outcasts and sinners. Jesus touches people who are sick and people who live with disabilities. Jesus even calls the dead back to life, and ultimately, Jesus draws all people to Himself as He is lifted up on the cross. In Christ Jesus, no one is beyond the embrace of God. This is atypical grace. And it is the atypical grace of God who has been revealed in our world that makes all the difference for you and for me. Are you open to God's possibilities in this new year for you? Are you open to believing that God can do something crazy, like bring peace amidst war, reconciliation amidst broken relationships, healing from disease, and forgiveness of sin? Are you open to how God may reach into your heart and your life? Are you open to change, renewal, perhaps walking new paths you once thought too difficult or too unfamiliar? Are you open to the God who God may choose to bring into your life? Are you open to listening to those with whom you disagree? To have a humble spirit in dealing with others? To seeing the living and revealed Christ in those whom you meet? This is the call of Epiphany. This is the call of God's incredible inreach to a world that God loves so much, and an ever-expanding embrace of that very same world. That is what this day is about. It's about the God who reveals Himself to us and continually does so that we might find in that atypical revelation new hope, new life, and new peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. us now profess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us now kneel, those who are able, for our time of prayer.
Rejoicing in the light of Christ that shines upon us, we pray for the church, the world, and all according to their needs. Father, your light shines in the face of our brother, Jesus. Help bolster the church's testimony about the grace and truth made known in his life, death, and resurrection. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Father, you speak in the immensity of space and the tiny detail of every grain of sand. We praise you for the creative joy evident in the wonder of life all around us. We pray that the manifestation of the glory of Christ will enable all to recognize the sanctity of each and every human life, and thus bring freedom and peace to exiles, refugees, and those oppressed by harsh and cruel governments. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. O God, you stretch out your merciful hand to heal the sick and shield those who are troubled. Touch all who are burdened by want, loneliness, or illness. Bring to them and to their caregivers healing and hope, especially Russell and Betty Ward, Walter Aikens, Larry Costello. We pray for Ed London, for the Patterfield family, for the Seiler family, and the Riggleman family. We pray for Marion Schottelkorb, for the Duval family, for Dennis Kish, for Mark Fisher, for Brandon Lay, for Carolyn Gwynn, for Kyle Simmons, and for Eric. We also pray for those whose names remain in the silence of our hearts or whom we name out loud. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy
is great. O God, our congregation enters this new year with a goal to connect us with partners who will share our journey of faith. Help us to build upon our current partnerships and to grow new and deeper relationships with others, both inside and outside the congregation. Fill us with joyful hope in this new year and give us courage amidst all the changes in living on this earth that often seem overwhelming. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy
is great. Hear the hopes and prayers of our hearts, O God, and magnify our joy at the birth of your light among us, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also
with you. Let us share the peace.
Close your eyes and imagine Mary holding little baby Jesus. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy was born to make you
Let us pray. Good and loving God, we rejoice in the birth of Jesus, who came among the poor to bring riches of your grace. As you have blessed us with your gifts, let them be blessings for others. With the trees of the field, with all earth and heaven, we shout for joy at the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, He was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The mystery hidden for the ages is revealed for us in this meal. Come, behold, and receive your God. Know that all are welcome at our family meal of thanksgiving. You may be seated.
Thank you.
now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. May the word that Mary brought to birth carry you into new and abundant life.
Amen.
May the word that Joseph cradled in his arms enfold you with love and strength.
Amen. Amen.
May the word that angels proclaimed in song bring harmony to our world. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.